Welcome to Folk Plus. Last week, we heard part one with Christine Lavin singing, reading bits from her book, A Memoir, about Greenwich Village. Here she's talking about fast folk and arguing with the editor, Jack Hardy.
Now, continuing with my book, I clashed with Jack over other creative differences. There are no piano songs in the early fast folk recordings because Jack didn't consider it a folk instrument. But I was such a fan of Julie Gold, who only plays piano, and Ron McKinnon, who also plays guitar, but what a pianist she is, that I finally wore him down. Many of the studio recordings for fast folk were done in Mark Dann's attic studio. He lived on the fourth floor of his parents' home in Brooklyn, a big, rambling Victorian house. But his parents were not fans of what we were doing, and we were not allowed to ring the doorbell. I'm not kidding. We would call from a payphone, and Mark would run down to the front door just as we were walking up. If his parents were home and happened to see us, we were told not to look at them, just keep moving. I produced a few issues of Fast Folk. One of them was all humorous songs, and one of them was all women songwriters. Julie Gold and Ron McKinnon were on that one, and the piano at Mark's parents' house was on the third floor. What happened is his parents bought theater tickets, so Mark called the theater to find out what time the show was over, so we figured out how many hours we had to do the recording. And that night, we raced to Brooklyn as fast as we could. Mark lowered the microphones from a fourth-floor window down to the third floor, where the piano was, where I positioned them. Julie and Ron had one take to get it right. Julie sang her whimsical song, The Bus, and Ron sang David Buskin's classic, All in All. As soon as we were done, Mark pulled the microphones up through the window again. We had to reset the parlor so nobody knew that we were there, and we scrammed before Mark's parents returned from the theater. It almost seems comical now that Grammy winner Julie Gold had to record her early songs in such a clandestine manner.
The fat man wears a bow tie, the thin man wears a hat. The lady with the raincoat left wrappers where she sat. The banker has his money, so he won't make no fuss. And we all go riding on the same bus. The artist has a sketch pad, the thinker has some books. The lovers on the back seat exchange their warmest looks. And everybody's thinking the things we can't discuss. But we all go riding on the same bus. Well, sometimes it gets hectic as we scramble for a seat. Everybody push you, shove you, trample on your feet. But traffic jams don't stop us, 'cause we have our jobs to do. And we know that the bus driver will always pull us through. The beggar has his rags on, the lawyer wears a suit. The music student carries an apple and a flute. The hero has his medals, though some have turned to rust. But we all go riding on the same bus. Well, sometimes it gets hectic as we scramble for a seat. Everybody push, you shove, you trample on your feet. Traffic jams don't stop us, 'cause we have our jobs to do. Please, Mr. Bus Driver, won't you pull us through? The dreamer has the future, the pauper has the past. A father has his family, a playwright has his cast. And when the road gets foggy, in God we place our trust. And we all go riding on the same bus. Well, we all go riding on the same bus.
He's tall and he's tough, and he's handsome enough, and he looks whenever I look around. He smiles when I smile, and we both look for a place to sit down. All in all,
This is Christine Lavin. I'm reading an excerpt from my book, Cold Pizza for Breakfast, with some musical inserts. And what we just heard was Ron McKinnon doing David Buskin's song, All in All. And before that, Julie Gold singing The Bus. And just as a little aside, on my way to the studio to do this show, I went to a concert where Julie Gold was a special guest of a group called the Uptown Express. They're a four-voice, kind of a like an updated version of the Brothers Four. Beautiful, beautiful harmonies, and they do songs from the early 1920s up to contemporary songs, because they sang two of Julie Gold's songs at the concert tonight. And Julie sang a brand new song tonight that just brought the entire audience, me included, to tears. And I was just so happy seeing her here in the 21st century writing such terrific music and knowing where we all came from in the early 1980s when we were all doing fast folk and speakeasy. And I said, I'm going to go tape this thing, Julie, about my book, and I'm going to tell him about what's happening with you today. So trust me, Julie's new song is called I Miss Being Young. And it's a classic. It's a modern day standard. And I'm thrilled to be friends with her all these years later. But let's get back to Fast Folk Musical Magazine. So Ron and Julie were on that issue that I produced, and also so is Shawn Colvin, doing her song, Knowing What I Know Now. She went to Mark's to record it on a cold, rainy Sunday afternoon. She called Mark, like we were supposed to do when we got off the subway, and he didn't answer the phone. Turns out he was stuck in traffic. But he wasn't home. She didn't know that this is before cell phones. How did we live back then? Oh, yeah, yeah. So she called me because I was in charge of this issue and asked what she should do. She'd already waited 15 minutes. It was raining. She didn't have a coat. She was huddled in a phone booth trying to stay dry. And she was just ready to bag the whole thing. And I begged her. I said, please, Sean, Mark is so reliable. I'm sure he's on his way. Please, please give him 30 minutes and keep calling him every 5 minutes. Well, she did. He finally got home. And Mark answered the phone, and she went over and she recorded the song, and he got it on tape. It's hard to imagine Shawn Colvin had to go to such great lengths to record her songs. And this is the song that she recorded after standing and shivering in a phone booth for 30 minutes in Brooklyn. That was Sean Colvin doing Knowing What I Know Now from a very early Fast Folk Musical Magazine issue. It's amazing to think that she was shivering in a phone booth for 30 minutes before she sang that song. But you know what? That's how we did it back then. And we all gained invaluable experience along the way. We also learned how much more power we had when we joined forces and created our own scene. As more of us made our albums and got radio airplay, we started traveling way beyond Greenwich Village. It's ironic that the Fast Folk Musical Magazine created the scene, then helped dismantle it as the songwriters who found success moved on to solo career tracks. But I will be eternally grateful to Jack Hardy for starting it. Now, everyone in New York wanted to play the Bottom Line on West 4th Street in Greenwich Village. For 30 years, it was the club in New York for live music of all types, not just folk, but rock and jazz and even comedy performances. It was owned by Alan Pepper and Stanley Snadowski, and after about 2 years of success with the Fast Folk recordings and all the speakeasy shows that we did, we approached the Bottom Line about doing a big Fast Folk show at their club. I had met with Alan Pepper a year or so earlier, proposing a different idea of doing a four-artist show at his club. At the time, none of the four of us could fill the 350-seat club on our own, but together we knew that we could. But that first meeting didn't go the way I had hoped. Alan pointed to one of the names and asked me what I thought of this particular performer's music. And I told him, well, it wasn't anything I really liked, but I knew the artist had a following and could probably fill 100 seats. "I'm glad you were honest with me concerning your opinion," he said. "But learn a lesson from this. Never promote something you have to make excuses for. I don't care for this person's music either, and the philosophy of this club is we only promote shows we believe in. When I saw that name on your list, I question your ears," he said. "I'm saying no to this idea, but try me again when you have a better handle on what you're doing." I have repeated Alan Pepper's advice to countless musicians. Never promote something you have to make excuses for. And that also goes for recordings. It's extremely bad form to say something like, "It's not really finished yet," or "The guitar is too loud here," or "My vocal is a bit ragged." Wait until your recording is finished so that you can proudly hand it to someone knowing it's the best that it can be. Later, Alan agreed to meet with Jack Hardy and me to discuss a Fast Folk show. I felt more confident with this idea. There were so many artists who had appeared on Fast Folk by then that I knew that there were more than enough to put on a good, solid show. The highlights of that first Bottom Line Fast Folk show are preserved in the April 1984 issue. I'm on that disc along with Jack, Suzanne Vega, Frank Christian, Rod McDonald, Eric Franson, and others, closing with all of us backing up David Massengill on his groundbreaking song, "The Great American Dream." That song became a sort of local anthem for its time. But when David made his very first solo album, that song, perhaps the best thing he's ever written, was not included. He had a manager who thought the song was so good and so powerful that they should hold it back, putting it on his second album once he was fully established. But that first album didn't do what they had hoped it would, though I am convinced it would have if that song had been included. That's another lesson learned. It's never a good idea to save your A-plus material for the next album, or your possible encore. When many musicians initially start to record, they have a first-rate collection of songs, because let's face it, you have your whole entire life to build up to your first album. There's this fear that if you put all your best songs on the first album, you won't have great stuff for the next one. But don't think like that. You'll keep writing, and you'll have great new songs for albums down the line. Always go with your best work right out of the gate. So here's David Massengill's anthem from the Fast Folk Musical Magazine of April 1984, live at the Bottom Line.
I am a foreigner. I left the white sands of Zanzibar. Where is this place you call Free Lunch Bar? I am hungry and have overstayed my visa. I work your farm, your factory, your pizzeria. Is TV more beautiful than the Mona Lisa? Someday my sons will fight for the eagle. My daughters will never be ashamed of me. It is my dream to be a citizen. It's the great American dream. It's the great American dream. It's the great American dream.
Excuse me, sir. I am a prostitute. Just pretend that I'm a Playboy bunny, or a Franklin, I will tongue your tummy. My body is a battlefield and a flower. Fourscore and seven tricks by the hour. Oh, the many men, one might have been my father. I'm gonna make my getaway in a Zeppelin. Take a bubble bath in the fountain of youth. It is my dream to be a girl again.
It's the great American dream. In the great American dream. In the great American dream. Well, excuse me, sir. I am a carpenter. Once I built a treehouse for Rockefeller. Though now I've been laid off since December. Oh, someday I'll build a castle all my own. In the den, the best lazy boy throne. In every room, a different color phone. And these torn hands are skilled as spiders. I hear there's work in Kansas building coffins. It is my dream to be cremated with the great American dream. With the great American dream. With the great American dream. Excuse me, sir. I am a writer. Though the critics are jealous of my genius, they say I'm writing with my penis. Perhaps you've read my work in True Confessions. It pays the rent and fuels my obsession. On the sly, I give elocution lessons. Someday I'll write, oh, the great American novel.
should be required reading in the Ivy League. It is my dream to die and famous as the great American dream. As the great American dream. As the great American dream.
Excuse me, sir. I am an Indian. Are the white man's as greedy as fire? His heart's wrapped round with barbed wire. My father died of whiskey and religion. Ah, but ghosts come cheap on this reservation. In the summer, we're a tourist attraction. It is wrong to squeeze the earth like a snake. A deceit to give a stone to a hungry one. It is my dream to skin a pilgrim and a great American dream. And a great so good American. American dream. Excuse me, sir, I am every man. I'm the good thief of Jekyll and Hyde.
I'm the social climber on a mountain of pride.
The devil, the dumb, and the debonair.
I'm the mouse, the monk, and the millionaire. I'm the great white hope riding on an old gray mare.
I'm a sad-eyed girl as young as the earth.
I'm the mother who died giving birth to the great American dream. To the great American dream. To the great American dream. I love freedom. Oh, freedom loves me.
Thank you. I have a really great show for you in store tonight. This is an acoustic guitar. We're trying to bring these back. For the last 2 years, we've been recording songs on the Fast Folk Musical magazine, working out of a little club over on McDougal Street called Speakeasy. It's nice to be here, the bottom line.
Harsh light and watery eyes. Burn out, but out and out of sight. The deal goes down after moonrise. Newspaper blows through this tunnel of love. Tumbleweed in the city blight. Hissing neon in the pouring rain. Thank you. back room, still praying to God above. The dim names left back in the diner, all for a thimble full of love. There's news of a murder up at 14th and T. The waitress shivers with fright as two cops tell a fish story. Looks in the eyes of a desperate man. She can't say much, but she can understand. Another aimless loner, another brittle voice, another ghostly goner. Is a minefield to the ex-soldier with a tattooed arm, a cigarette stuck on his lower lip. He thinks of his mom back on the farm, and thick thighs snicker behind them. And she says, "Boy, you don't have to fight. Come on home with me, baby.
City rain, I don't know if it's making me dirtier or clean. Went for the subway, but there was no train, and the tunnel was crumbling for repairs again. And the sign said, "Welcome to America, Jerusalem." Oh, I've been around. You could spend forever looking for a friend in this town, and all you get to do is lay your dollar down till you're stumbling drunk up the stairs again. And the sign says, "Welcome to American Jerusalem." In the temples of American Jerusalem, they buy an ounce of South African gold. They don't care who was bought or sold, or who died to mine it. In the temples of American Jerusalem, they buy an ounce of Marseille wine. Somewhere on light. Somebody dies trying it. And somewhere in a crowd, looking the kind of way that makes you turn around, will be somebody who knows what it's about. She's going to take the ribbons from her hair again and welcome you to American Jerusalem. Got to collect my share again. So go west to breathe the cleansing air again. Go Niagara for your honeymoon again. Go on the road if you're going to sing your tune again. Go to sea to learn to be a man again, till you come on home to American Jerusalem.
This is Christine Lavin. I'm reading an excerpt of my book along with some music from the time period I've written about. And what you just heard was American Jerusalem by Rod McDonald. Before that, Open All Night by Lucy Kaplansky, a song written by Brian Rose. And that was Jack Hardy's voice you heard welcoming the audience. And it opened with The Great American Dream by David Massengill and friends. And the people singing the verses of that song were Tom Intondi, did the Foreigner verse, Lucy Kaplansky, the prostitute verse, Jack Hardy sang the Carpenter, David Massengill sang the Writer, and Rod McDonald sang the Indian verse, and then they all sang together at the end. Just a sidebar here about the musicians you just heard playing with all of us at the Bottom Line that night back in 1984. Mark Dann was on second guitar. Although he played bass on many of the Fast Folk recordings that he engineered at his studio in Brooklyn, it was Jack Hardy's brother, Jeff, who played bass at the Fast Folk Bottom Line shows. Jeff Hardy had toured for many years with his brother, Jack, but gave up being a full-time musician to become a chef, coming out of retirement every year for the Fast Folk Bottom Line concerts. He was a very tasteful bass player, a wonderful harmony singer, and a great guy. Howie Wyeth was playing drums that night. I had met Howie in 1975 when I was baking bread and waitressing at the Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. Lena was invited to be part of the entourage of Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review, and I got to tag along and first met Howie Wyeth back then, who was the drummer on that tour, though I was too shy to talk to him back then. He was terrific, a bit older than us fast folkers, and since most of us were solo performers, it was always a thrill whenever we had Howie putting a steady, solid beat behind our music. Mark Dann, Jeff Hardy, and Howie Wyeth added so much to the songs in those live concerts we did at the Bottom Line. You can especially hear it on that last song by Rod McDonald, American Jerusalem. It's a very long song that only grows more powerful as the music builds beneath his voice and guitar. They also added subtle touches to Lucy Kaplansky's performance of the Stark song Open All Night and deepened the emotional impact of The Great American Dream. Now, David Massengill wrote it, and that song has brought him to the attention of many important people. Here's a story about one of them, followed by a recording of her doing the song with David and a slightly different cast of characters.
I worked for 9 years in a restaurant in New York City. Those were good years. And there was a nice folk scene going on at the time, and it allowed me to be a bohemian. Ever since I was a boy, I wanted to be a bohemian. I read that in a Mark Twain book, Bohemians, and it sounded like a nice word and a nice life. And I was determined to be one when I grew up. And also, my mother went to New York City with my dad on a business trip, and she came back talking about going to Broadway and the Macy's department store. But the big story she was all excited about was they had gone to a little cafe after a show, and the movie stars Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward came in. And Paul Newman was wearing blue jeans and a T-shirt. And I thought, that's where I want to live when I grow up. And I was just 10 years old, but I determined that I would go up to New York and live and be a bohemian. And here I am in my blue jean and T-shirt. And now also in New York, we have a definition for bohemian. It's somebody that stays up real late, gets up even later, does their laundry and calls it art. That's what we call bohemian in New York City. So here I am in New York City, and there's a folk thing going, so I can play once or twice a week usually, and I need a job, part-time job, to keep my bohemian life on an even keel. I wanted to pay my bills. So I got a little job in a restaurant, and I refused all promotions, and I stayed there for 9 years. One of those times, I discovered I had an ego while I was working at that restaurant. I did a show once, and Joan Baez actually did one of my songs that night, and when it got up for me to do the song, I said, well, tonight I'm playing for 8,000 people, tomorrow night I'm washing dishes in a restaurant. And it got a tremendous laugh then, too. And afterwards, Joan said, well, I'd like to see what it's like to wash dishes, and do you mind if I come by and wash dishes with you? And I didn't think she really meant it, but she was serious because she showed up, and I went to the maitre d' and I said, Joan Baez is here. She wants to wash some dishes. And the maitre d' said, no, 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 no. And so I went over his head. I went to the cook, and he said, well, you could use the help. And so we dressed her up in the kitchen whites, and she worked pretty good that night. She was awfully conscientious about everything, and she would take trays of glasses up to the front, and the people sitting in their chairs would, like, I'm sure they had to go to the chiropractors the next day because they were twisting their necks pretty good. Also, Joan knew folk songs in all these different languages, and so all the people that worked in the kitchen with me were treated to one of their folk songs they grew up with. All the cooks are from Thailand. And she sang the Thai folk songs. They were just almost crying with joy. Also, the people from El Salvador did the salads, and she sang something in Spanish. The people from the islands, the Caribbeans, did the desserts, and she did something from that, too, and they were very delighted. The dishwashers were all from Mexico and Tennessee. And so she did some hillbilly song in Spanish. Nobody could figure that one out. So also somebody went out and bought a camera, and everybody had the picture taken. So it was an awfully nice night. Well, the next night I come back, and I'm kind of feeling pretty full of myself, you know. And one of the waiters comes up to me and says, Johnny Cash is here, and he wants to wash dishes with you. And I seriously looked from one end of the room to the other and went back across and was disappointed when I realized that they were pulling my leg. And that's when I discovered I had an ego. But that's all right. That's what keeps us going.
Excuse me, sir, I am a foreigner. I left the white sands of Zanzibar. Where is this place you call Free Lunch Bar? I am hungry and have overstayed my visa. I work your farm, your factory, your pizzeria. Is TV more beautiful than the Mona Lisa? Someday my sons will fight for the eagle. My daughters will never be ashamed of me. It is my dream citizen. It's the great American dream. It's the great American dream. It's the great American dream.
Excuse me.
These torn hands are skilled as spiders.
And I hear there's a working Kansas building coffins. It is my dream to be cremated with the great
American dream.
With the great
Excuse me, sir, why I'm an Indian. A white man is as greedy as fire. All his heart is wrapped round with barbed wire. My father died of whiskey and religion. The ghosts are cheap on the reservation. In summer, we're a tourist attraction. It is wrong to squeeze the earth like a snake. A deceit to give a stone to the hungry one. It is my dream to skin a pilgrim and the
great American dream.
And the
great American dream.
And the great
was The Great American Dream from the Folk City 25th Anniversary Concert. Tom and Tondi sang the part of the foreigner. Lucy Kaplansky sang the part of the prostitute, but David Massengill sang the carpenter. Lily Yanyel sang the Indian, and that was Joan Baez singing the ending of the song. What a story about Joan Baez washing dishes. But one of the voices that you just heard there, Lily Yanyel, who sang the Indian voice, she is one of the people that I really was convinced that she was going to be a big, big star. She's really exotic looking. She's 6 feet tall. She's mixed race. She's really this very exotic beauty. And I had no idea what had happened to her.
Well, Lily is in Philadelphia. And she very kindly, for the audience here of Folk Plus, recorded a little bit about her memories of the village.
Hi, My name is Lily Agnelle. When I began playing music out in the world in the late 70s, early 80s, I was attracted to Greenwich Village. That's where songwriters whose music I was influenced by had played.
What the sign said.
Richie Havens, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Simon and Garfunkel, Janis Ian, to name a few. The sense of community attracted me. Musicians sang and performed each other's songs. I saw the Song Project at Folk City one night, and I knew I wanted to be part of that scene. The group played songs by the various songwriters in the village at the time. They continued in the folk tradition of playing each other's songs, a rite of passage in my eyes. I began to take part at the Cornelia Street Songwriters Exchange on Monday nights, where in order to perform, you had to bring a new song every week, a real training ground. And afterwards, would attend Folk City's Hootenanny, eventually being invited to perform there, and as well as other iconic village clubs my heroes played in. The cherry on top some years later was having one of my songs chosen to be performed by the Song Project, who would perform at the Bottom Line. The Speakeasy was the last new venue in the village that continued with the sense of community and music that had existed for so long. I played there quite a few times, and like everything, the sense of community waned and began to change, with the music becoming synthesizer and drum machine driven for starters. I would not be the songwriter musician I am today without my having been a part of these venues and what took place at Greenwich Village at the time, and I'm very grateful for it.
Thanks for the memories, Lily. She's at lilyagnelle.org. Next week, we'll have part 3 with Christine Lavin. This has been Folk Plus. I'm Angela Page.
I didn't leave a note.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Jeffersonville Bake Shop, open every day of the week for breakfast, lunch, and after-school snacks. Also featuring olive oil, ceramics, and other handmade items by artists and makers in Palestine.
If it's happening here, it's on Radio Catskill. Local events, local voices. Live local conversations 5 days a week. Radio Catskill, weekday mornings at 10.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, I'll talk with the head of the ACLU about the possibility of a constitutional crisis. Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.